Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here. Welcome back to Tesla Daily. Today we are talking about updates on Giga Berlin, Giga Shanghai. We've got news on Tesla and Indonesia, news on FSD, some reporting on Autopilot, and a few other stories to cover as well. Pretty tough start to the week for Tesla stock today, finishing down 5.9%, closing at $724.37. This was significantly underperforming the NASDAQ, which closed down 1.2% on the day. Didn't seem to be anything particularly sector-related causing Tesla to underperform. Among automakers, Tesla performed worse today too, so who knows what's going on. I'm sure most people will look at the lack of any clear reason and point to Twitter. It's an easy excuse, and maybe there's some validity to that, but we won't spend much time on that today. It's really just been more back and forth between Elon and Twitter and Parag about what percent of Twitter's users are bots. So more to come on that, I'm sure, but we'll skip it for today. The only other thing that I saw that people might tie to the stock performance was news that Ray Dalio's fund, Bridgewater Associates, did close their Tesla position in the first quarter. So, maybe people following those trades or getting nervous because of that closing of the position. But aside from the headlines, it's pretty inconsequential. They only had 25,000 shares of Tesla stock, which, yes, would be a lot for an individual, but not for their fund. They have $25 billion worth of assets under management. So their Tesla position was a little bit over a tenth of a percent of their fund, actually underweight Tesla then, compared to the S&P 500. So it's not like they had some high conviction in Tesla in the first place that they're now changing. Pretty inconsequential all around. All right, so getting into some of the other news, I want to start off in Germany. We've got updates on Giga Berlin and other items as well. First off, a report on the production rate of Giga Berlin by TeslaMag.de. They say that they have heard from two sources that, quote, only 86 Model Y performance are currently produced in the German factory per day, and the work at the individual stations takes about twice as long as the planned 90 seconds. The vehicles then also have to be intensively revised. However, local production of drives is scheduled to start in June, and a significantly increased pace is planned for the second half of July, end quote. On the last bit there where they say drives, presumably that would be drive units, so the motors and associated parts, which Giga Berlin is still sourcing from China at this point in time. As for the production rate of 86 vehicles per day, it does seem pretty plausible. We haven't seemed to see really high volumes or really high vehicle identification numbers come out of Giga Berlin yet. And for context, that would be max production of about 600 vehicles per week or 7,500 per quarter. So that seems about right. And with this report, I think the expectations for Giga Berlin picking up much of the slack from the Shanghai downtime for Q2 need to be kept in check. I think it's just not quite far enough in the ramp yet, but as this report says, hopefully increased pace of production for the second half of July. Sounds like that would be when Tesla would be planning to add a second shift, and that would set up a pretty good Q3. More on that in a second, but wrapping up with this report, the other thing that got some attention in here was a line at the end where they say, in Grünheide, there are rumors of 2 million orders for the Model Y performance from markets that are to be served by Giga Berlin. All right, well, that might seem like it would be exciting. I think if that were true, Tesla would be woefully mismanaging their business, having the order prices where they are to build that big of a backlog. However, I don't think that there is any chance that this is accurate. The wait times for a Model Y performance are only 3 to 5 months. That just does not fit at all with 2 million orders. That amount of orders would also represent 520 million in customer deposits. Tesla on their entire order book right now has about 1.1 billion. And that's for all products in all markets, Tesla Automotive, Tesla Energy, retail, and utility. For just the Model Y performance, just for Europe, to be about half of that doesn't really make much sense, so not much critical thinking required here on that rumor. I would almost say that it cast doubt on the information in the first part of the article, but for that at least they did say that two sources informed them on that information versus here it was just a vague comment about rumors. All right, the other updates that we have on Giga Berlin are coming from Alex Voigt, who shared a portion of a report given by Jörg Steinbach, economic minister of Brandenburg, last week. Steinbach had said that several thousand Model Ys have been manufactured so far in Giga Berlin, which really doesn't tell us much because that could be including those pre-production test vehicles. That was already nearing a couple thousand. Surely Tesla would have made at least 1,000 more by now, and even if it doesn't count those, that could still mean as low as 3,000 vehicles, and that would be on the low end of what people would be expecting total output from Berlin to have been by now. So not much to take away from that, but then Alex does also report that Steinbach confirmed that, quote, the second shift is scheduled to start in the second quarter, end quote, and, quote, a third shift is then planned depending on the production ramp, end quote. So the Tesla Mag report had said a significant increase in production rate in the second half of July. Here is saying a second shift sometime in the second quarter. That would probably be in June then, so maybe some buffer in the production plan to get that second shift integrated and then really start going for volume production in second half of July. So kind of reading the tea leaves there, but that's really all we can do at this point. I don't expect huge volume for Q2, but things look much more hopeful for Q3, which the way these two quarters seem to be setting up could just contribute to what could be a pretty big slingshot back in the other direction in terms of how the quarterly results come in. All right, the other little update that we have out of Germany is from a YouTube channel, AI for Dummies. They happen to visit the Tesla Automation Center in West Germany. This came about from Tesla's acquisition of Grohmann Automation a few years back, and this person happened to spot a few 4680 battery canisters on site. These were in a recycling bin right next to a couple of desks, so likely just empty canisters here. And in general, I don't think it's too noteworthy. Shouldn't be too surprising to see these here because Tesla does a lot of testing and design and engineering of their manufacturing processes in this location. And for Tesla, 4680 is really at the heart of all of that. So it shouldn't be any surprise to see Tesla working on developing that equipment at this building. All right, next we've got a couple of updates on Giga Shanghai. We had previously discussed reports that Tesla had been looking to add a second shift and get back to full production and even beyond full production as of May 16th today. That has not yet happened. Reuters today reporting that Tesla has, quote, delayed a plan to restore production at its Shanghai plant levels before the city's COVID-19 lockdown by at least a week, according to an internal memo seen by Reuters, end quote. They note that Tesla will stick to the current one shift with output of around 1,200 vehicles per day, hoping to bump that up to the previously reported 2,600 units per day as of May 23rd. So we'll see if this does happen. It's going to be contingent on what's going on in Shanghai, of course. And today, Shanghai officials outlined a little bit more of a plan for how they see reopening happening, with a lot of that being in phases. So some taxis and private cars have been allowed back on roads in outer districts. Some other movement restrictions would be planned to be lifted on May 21st. I'm guessing that's mostly what Tesla is planning around. And then as Shanghai said before, they are working with manufacturers to prioritize those businesses getting back to normal as quickly as possible. So we know Tesla is one of those companies, probably all of their suppliers as well. And then Shanghai says that they will continue reopening from May 22nd to May 31st. If infection numbers continue to fall, epidemic management will shift to a quote-unquote normalization phase. And then from June 1st to the end of the month, Shanghai will seek to fully reopen. So again, a lot of contingencies based on where case numbers go. There's certainly no guarantee of that May 23rd target from Tesla. That could easily fall back to June 1st or thereabouts, but we'll continue to monitor. All right, next we've got a bit of an update on Tesla and Indonesia. It really hasn't been that many episodes since we talked about Elon Musk meeting with Indonesian government officials at Gigafactory Texas. And now, over the weekend, Elon Musk hosted the president of Indonesia at SpaceX's Starbase. They did a quick little joint interview that was shared out by an Indonesian government channel. And Elon in that interview said, quote, "We're going to look closely from a Tesla and SpaceX standpoint to try to do some partnerships in Indonesia," and added, quote, "We're looking closely at potential collaboration on many fronts," end quote. So this seemed to be a very positive meeting. The Indonesian government shared out quite a few tweets on this, as did the president, and Elon replied to that saying, quote, "It was an honor to meet you at Starbase and discuss exciting future projects," end quote. This is a very interesting case where the overlap between SpaceX and Tesla could be beneficial for both in terms of whatever conversations or negotiations are happening here. There's a ton of potential value for both these companies, Tesla and SpaceX, in Indonesia from a Tesla standpoint, from the nickel production, nickel reserves, and for SpaceX, potentially a lot of interesting possibilities with Indonesia sitting on the equator, which is the best place for rocket launches. And then on the other end of the equation, I'm sure Indonesia realizes how impactful having that sort of influence from one or both of these companies could be for the trajectory of their company and their economy. So this is going to continue to be interesting to watch, and it's nice to see the excitement from both sides here, and hopefully that'll yield some significant mutual benefit. All right, next we've got a couple of updates on FSD and Autopilot. First up on FSD beta, of course, we have not yet seen the 10.12 release. Tesla is pushing hard on this, with Elon saying on Saturday that, quote, "Team is working the weekend to get 10.12 in limited release tomorrow. Then we evaluate dual point update and broaden the release. 10.12.2 is probably where we can expand to a safety score of 95 plus," end quote. So obviously that tomorrow release didn't happen unless Elon meant extremely limited to employees, but even then we tend to see the release notes leak out. So we're still waiting on this, but hopefully we'll see that come sometime this week. The other news on Autopilot, which you may have seen picked up by the media, happened in quite a few places, was on just Autopilot as an advanced driver assistance system, because AAA released a report of some testing that they did with the Model 3 and a couple other vehicles. So the headline grabber here, which Reuters picked up as did others, was that Tesla and other vehicles' ADAS systems failed to avoid head-on collisions in AAA's testing. That certainly doesn't sound great, but if you look at the actual report from AAA, Tesla actually did quite well in this test. The other two vehicles were a Hyundai Santa Fe and a Subaru Forester. And as you can see in the table here, neither of those two vehicles either detected the simulated vehicle or applied the brakes in any of the five tests. They impacted the oncoming car, which was just a foam car, in all cases, which was the same for the Tesla. However, the Tesla did detect and apply the brakes in all five cases, unlike the other vehicles. If we look at the impact speed for the Hyundai Santa Fe, in all five cases it was 25 miles an hour, which was what they were running the test at. Subaru Forester, basically the same. However, for the Model 3, across five tests, the highest impact speed was just 3.2 miles per hour. So that's obviously a much better result for the Model 3 than these other vehicles. Reuters at least mentioned that, but there were other publications that took this and ran with it, didn't really point that out. It's also probably worth noting that in these tests, the impact happened at least 3.3 seconds after the brakes started being applied, so quite a bit of time to react if you were actually in this test circumstance, and still a very low collision speed. It's also probably worth noting that the software that they were running on this test for some reason was version 2021.4.18, which I think would be software from last year, so pretty out of date, and of course not FSD beta, which would probably actually go around the car in this scenario. But as far as this testing, an ADAS system is not really even designed in that same way, so actually I think a pretty good result here for Tesla. All right, last few items here. First, just kind of an interesting update from Uber. They have added a comfort electric option for selecting a ride. So like UberX or Uber Black, you could now pick an EV. I would imagine that availability of that will vary by market or whatever drivers are on the network at that point in time, but definitely nice to have that added as an option. Next, we've got potentially an update on the Tesla Semi. It looks like Tesla has started taking reservations from just kind of anybody for the Tesla Semi. To be honest, this is a little bit confusing to me. A lot of media has picked up on this. I thought Tesla was doing this already. I know it's at least at some point they had been. Longtime listeners may remember that we interviewed somebody in Canada that has a small trucking operation that had reserved a Semi way back in the day. So maybe they took it offline and now it's back. I'm not sure exactly what's going on with that, but if you are interested, you can now put $20,000 down for a Semi reservation. Lastly then, just a couple things to keep an eye out for. Matt Taibbi, who is a best-selling author, actually wrote a book called The Divide that we have talked about on the podcast back in 2018 when we were talking about short selling. I would definitely recommend that episode from July 4th, 2018, by the way, if you haven't listened to that. Anyway, Taibbi is currently focusing in on California and some of the regulation that is happening in the state. He's doing a multi-part series on this, and it sounds like Tesla is going to be one of the subject matters, so it's going to be interesting to keep an eye out for that. And then the other thing is that the All In podcast was scheduled to have a fireside chat of sorts with Elon today. I haven't heard any reporting on that yet, so we'll see if they end up publishing that. Could be an interesting conversation, if so. But that is really it for today, so as always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast. And we'll see you tomorrow for the Tuesday, May 17th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.